Tell me the story most precious, the sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings on earth. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him, and tell how he liveth again. Oh, love in this story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper. Love paid the ransom for me. Love paid the ransom for me.
Welcome as you settle into this holy space that we create together for a Good Friday service. listening from wherever you are, whatever your world is about and contains today. I'll be reading the Passion narrative as it is written in the book of Mark, chapters 14 and 15. But before that, I would like to offer some words of consideration regarding this story and our day and our place in this week and our place in this story. So a compilation of readings, including my own thoughts on today, before the reading of the Passion story. In Holy Week, we know that resurrection and hope are on their way, but not before we face with Jesus the despair of betrayal, abandonment, and death. Today, the primary human problem is both revealed and resolved. It is indeed a Good Friday. What is revealed is our human inclination toward violence. Brothers, in a multitude of ways, instead of dying to ourselves, to our own illusions, pretenses, narcissism, and self-defeating behaviors, Jesus dies for us, not in the sense of a substitute for us, but in solidarity with the suffering of all humanity since the beginning of time. The spectacle of an innocent and good man destroyed by the powers of this world is an archetypal human experience. It elicits our deepest feelings of remorse and empathy. It's been used to stir anger and scapegoating. It's been used to fuel anti-Semitism, to induce personal guilt, such as phrases like "Christ died for your sins." And it has been used to arouse devotion in a sentimental and sorrowful way. From the beginning of human history, we humans have engaged in rivalry, accusation, and violence, and we often do such things in the name of God. It's fairly easy to weaponize scripture against others who are not living according to our standard, all in the name of God. Sometimes, in the name of justice, we justify our violent behavior toward others. It is my belief that in the cross event, God, in mysterious wisdom, reveals the violent and sinful tendencies of our own hearts. I don't personally believe that God wanted or needed the death of Jesus in order to pay God off or satisfy God's wrath towards sin. Nor did God need a human sacrifice to extend forgiveness to humanity. We see time and again that God was extending forgiveness to humanity long before the death on the cross. The cross event is a mystery, and we return to this year after year in a new way. We are all a little bit different than we were last year at this time. Our thoughts have changed and our ideas have evolved. And so we approach this moment again. And I invite you to consider how different you are this year with this story. The cross event is a mystery, and it is at the heart of the Christian faith. Once we begin to think honestly about our part, our role, our identification in the suffering and death of Jesus, we come in contact with real transformative power. We come in contact with the veil between the holy and the perceived unholy, but we see it ripped open. We contact his body becoming a living way, a living opening, making this possible. We contact the message, the life, We contact the gospel of love, of oneness, of unity, and abundance. We come in contact with the lie of our ever being separate from the divine. And every time we contact, every time we avail ourselves to this reality, we have the opportunity to be changed. Every time we come to this story, year after year, we have the opportunity to make a new opening for ourselves. It is now your turn to come into relationship with the cross in a brand new way this year. The church calendar calls us away from our ordinary time and invites us into divine time. For most of us, this hour of each day, we call it the lunch hour, depending on what part of the clock you work. This is typically a time to eat lunch. And today, it is a time to pause and to process and to pray and to consider how this story continues to evolve and involve our lives and our minds. Today is your time to see differently. And for me to remind myself that time forever changed in this event, the world began to tell time differently from this point on. And instead of wearing my Apple Watch today, like I usually do to count my steps, today I put on a different watch to remind myself that time has changed and I'm a part of that change. I invite you to do something like that for yourself today, some kind of symbol to remind you that things are different today. And they're only different as long as we enact and behave differently. Let us now read the story as it is written from Mark 14 and 15. I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Bible. If you would like to follow along with me, perhaps you would like to use this as a meditation time. I invite you to close your eyes and listen, or to follow along, whichever way you feel would be most impactful for you. I know some are driving around or working, listening at the side of their desks, and I welcome all of the ways in which you participate in this story. From Mark 14. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said, "Not during the festival, for there may be a riot among the people." While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard. And she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some who were there said to one another in anger, "Why was this ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, and the money, it could have been given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news is preached in the whole world for all time, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, the rabbi asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there. So the disciples set out and went to the city and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he came to the 12, and when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. They began to be distressed and say to him one after another, surely not I. He said to them, it is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to the one to whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born. While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. When they had sung the hymn, they went out of the mount to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, you will all become deserters, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter said to him, even though all become deserters, I will not. Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But Peter said vehemently, even though I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all of them said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake. And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, that this hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but your will be done. He came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake with me 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going, for you see my betrayer is at hand. Immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him was a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, the one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard. So when he came, he went up to him at once and said, Rabbi, and kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day, I've been with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. Even so, let the scriptures be fulfilled. All of them deserted him and fled. A certain young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked. They took Jesus to the high priest, and all of the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes were assembled. Peter had followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards, warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many gave false testimony against him, and their testimony did not agree. Some stood up and gave false testimony against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands.'" But even on this point, their testimony did not agree. And the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But he was silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "Why do we still need witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?" All of them condemned him as deserving death. Some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, and to strike him, saying, "Prophesy." The guards also took him over and beat him. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said, "You also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth." But Peter denied it, saying, "I do not know or understand what you are talking about." And he went out into the forecourt. And then the rooster crowed. And the servant girl, on seeing him, began saying to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But he denied it again. Then after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know this man you are talking about." At that moment, the rooster crowed for the second time, and then Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times." And Peter broke down and wept. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered him, "You say so." Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone who they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he realized it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again, "What do you wish me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him!" So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him into the court of the palace, that is the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort, and they clothed him in a purple cloak. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him, and they began saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They struck his head with a reed and spat upon him and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they did crucify him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him, they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he's calling for Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave out a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Man, truly this man was God's son." There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. These used to follow him and provided for him when he was in Galilee. And there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph brought a linen cloth and, taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, saw where the body was laid, and there Jesus laid. This concludes the ending of our reading of the Passion. May you go in contemplation. May you find a sense of peace and relationship in this very time of day that the text has described for us. May you contemplate and reflect. May you feel the presence of the Holy One within your heart as you consider how this story lives again within you. God bless you.